Before we get into today's episode, I want to let you know about a source of powerful free resources to help you as a parent or grandparent get equipped to invest in the faith of the next generation. Our Next Gen website has been designed to help empower you to navigate tough issues with the young people in your life. At Next Gen, you'll find articles, entertainment reviews from a Christian perspective, parenting stories, helpful parenting guides, and even answers to the tough questions. All these resources are free as you engage on the front line of raising the next generation for Jesus. So why not register today at premierinsight.org/resources to receive free resources from NextGen. That's premierinsight.org/resources. And now it's time for today's podcast.
Good afternoon. It's Saturday afternoon, the 21st of July. I hope your weekend's going well, and if you're off on holiday soon, over the holiday period, trust that you're going to have a refreshing and relaxing break. Of course, Unbelievable stays here throughout the months of July and August, and indeed September. Lots of interesting things to come. Going to be meeting next week a New Age healer, sort of a spiritual healer, if you like, and comparing and contrasting that with Christian healing. But enough of next week. Let's find out what's coming up on the show today. I should just say thank you, of course, to David Aldous, Passages of Life. And don't forget, lots of other stuff to come on Premier this afternoon, including Hip Rock UK. That's from 4 p.m. this afternoon. You can also listen to the best parts of Premier from the past week on Premier Playback from about 3:30. And Father John Twistleton continues taking us through the catechisms of the Church in Firmly, I Believe, immediately after this programme. And what's coming up on this week's programme?
You're unbelievable!
Well, we're going to be looking at the subject of forgiveness. It's something which is, of course, integral to Christian faith, the idea of forgiveness, because we, as Christians, believe that we are forgiven by Jesus. And it's in being forgiven that we are often set free to forgive others. But what about when the forgiveness is of a nature of something which is just too terrible almost to describe? Many people carry a kind of weight of bitterness and anger against things that people have done to them in childhood, whether that be of a violent mental or sexual nature. We're going to be meeting today Peter Saunders. Peter was abused as a child. He is a Christian, but it was only in his adult years that he came in to understand and to really start to grapple with that. In response to what he felt was a lack of a place to turn to, he set up something called NAPAC, the National Association for People Abused in Childhood. And his was a journey of healing, and part of that was forgiveness. We're going to be finding out what exactly it means to forgive. When it comes to Christian forgiveness, does it mean letting someone off the hook? What happens in terms of the justice that should be meted out for a person such as that? It may be an area that you've struggled with in the past, and we're going to be allowing you to have your say as well over the phone and by email. We're also going to be meeting in the programme Steve Goss, who runs Freedom in Christ Ministries, and part of what they do is teach on forgiveness as part of the process of letting go of things in the past that perhaps hold us down and in bondage. But what about the non-Christian, perhaps, who says, why should I forgive? We're going to be looking at responses to why Christians believe forgiveness is an integral part of moving on, and what that forgiveness actually constitutes. Well, let's have some of your responses to last week's programme before we get to that. One of the things that we aired at the beginning of last week's programme were your responses to the issue of Islam and terror. And one of the callers called in to say, really to give thanks, I suppose, for God's protection that those attempted bombs in Glasgow and London did not go off, and that he hadn't recognised that many people had actually given thanks to God for that mercy. So someone rang in just to back up what he was saying.
Hello, my name is May Lutaya. I'm really happy to hear the last caller who acknowledged to thank God for saving us. There's a psalm in the Bible that says, if God doesn't protect the city, the watchmen, they watch in vain. I think we should be praising him for saving us. He overrules. His hand was there, and he's always there. He will never forsake us. We shouldn't be worrying about it. These are human who are all under him. Islam, Buddhist, everyone, Christian, we are all under the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much for that message. Now to some responses to the subject of last week's programme. You may remember we were joined by Paul Gutteridge of the Christian Growth Centre in Chelmsford, and also Rohit Saxena, who's a Hindu. And they were talking about their different concepts of God, and a very interesting conversation it was too. Well, here's a couple of your responses to Hinduism in particular.
Hello, my name's Mrs. Ellen Borland. I'm a Christian, a practicing Christian. I believe you do have to practice every day to become a better Christian. I believe, I know, God was, God is, and God will always be. We don't have to pray through statues or objects. We only have to go outside on a wet day or a summer's day, and we see God's blessings everywhere, from the sky to the grass to the ground we walk on. Life is simple. God makes it that way for us. We only choose to make life hard when we go our own road. We do go that we should go the road God does. It's just for simple living the way he wants us to.
Hello. I just wanted to speak on the issue of, you know, the Hindu religion and Rohit. Just to say to Rohit, if possible, that I've studied a little bit about the Hindu faith, and there's a lot of scary things, you know, that God's ask or do to people. You know, this Shivas, you know, can actually destroy. He can be quite frightening God, even for people in the Hindu faith, you know. And I've known people say that they had the impression he was trying to kill them. Jesus is just not like that, you know. We're human beings, and we do things wrong, and we do things to offend Jesus. I mean, I know in the past few days of my life as a Christian, you know, I just don't understand the greatness of God, you know. And sometimes, you know, our humanness is just too awful, too terrible, you know. And it's like we do things that we don't even know why we're doing them. But we have got such a big God, such a loving God. You know, he died for us, and it's incomprehensible the love that God has for man. And there's just nothing like it. And I should just say to him, just try it, you know, please. You know, no, don't argue points and so on. Just try it. You know, that's the only way to experience Jesus. He died for us. We're sinners, and he loves us, and we don't know why. But there's nothing like it, and we can't do without him. God bless you. Okay, bye.
Well, thank you for those responses. I had an email in this week as well. Noel says, I cannot believe I'm hearing this programme on Premier Christian Radio. I'm very disappointed that you've decided to air such an outrageous programme. It's important that you make your line clear. Are you a Christian radio station or a secular interfaith station? There are not many ways to God. John 14:6 is the passage you quote. And that should be the end of the matter. The problem in Europe today is that we all try to understand and respect all these pagan views, but that is all they are. Pagan. We are in the world to spread the gospel. Please use the station for the right usage and don't get mixed up. Well, I don't know if you've listened to the programme before now, Noel, but the point of this programme is we're not saying by any means that many ways lead to God. In fact, we're here to discuss those kinds of issues and to put out a clear Christian statement on them. But what we are saying is that in sharing the gospel, it means talking to people. And you don't talk to people by simply shouting, I suppose, that they're wrong and you're right. You have a discussion. And that was what we were having last week. So I have to say, I disagree with you on the way that you took that debate. I think it was a very interesting debate. I don't think Paul was saying in any way as a Christian that there are many ways to God. He was just inviting Rohit to have a discussion about the way he sees God, and then Paul was telling him how he sees God, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that is what it means to share our faith with people. But I'm sorry you feel that way, and of course if you want to take that any further, you can always ring our response line and log your views with Right of Reply. I guess Unbelievable is one of those programs where you either love it or hate it. And obviously you're not one of the ones who particularly enjoys it. But there you go. There are many people who have phoned in to say they do enjoy this kind of discussion where people from different points of view are able to discuss honestly and openly the differences between them. And, of course, that means acknowledging where there are similarities. There's nothing wrong with that. People of faith share many values in common. There are often more things that unite us than divide us, but we're honest about the things that divide us as well. Let's hear some more of your responses to that programme last week. And these both compare Hinduism to Roman Catholicism, which I thought was quite an interesting aspect.
Hello, this is Sister Carol. I've been listening quite fascinated with the Hindu and the Christian, and I had a thought that in the Christian church, especially Catholics, but from the beginning, we have various aspects of Jesus that we have devotion or approach. Like the Anglicans very keen on the Good Shepherd, and then there's Christ the King, and then there's the Redeemer, and in the 1700s and 1800s, there was the Sacred Heart, and some people still very keen on that. As I say, I wonder if that ties in with, not exactly the same, but sort of parallel to the Hindu gods. It's just a thought. Bye.
Beatrice Chapman, I just wanted to say that I thought there is a similarity between the Hindus praying to God through their various gods and the Catholic way of praying to God through the various saints. I could see a similarity, and I have been to an arranged visit from my church to a Hindu temple, and I found it most enlightening.
Well, thank you, ladies, for those calls, and thank you all for getting in touch. And if you want to listen back to last week's programme, which we've been hearing the responses to, it's available online. Go to premier.org.uk/radio, click on Unbelievable, and you can listen back to that programme last week. It's called Concepts of God with Paul Guttridge and Rohit Saxena, and there are plenty of other programmes to look at there as well. Well, we're going to be meeting our guests in just a moment as we discuss forgiveness. That's the topic of the programme today. We're going to be meeting Peter Saunders of the National Association for People Abused in Childhood and Steve Goss from Freedom in Christ Ministries as we talk about moving on from bad things in the past. It's going to be a programme which may open wounds for people who perhaps have issues in this area. And we're going to be giving out at the end of the programme some useful numbers and websites where you may be able to find some help. Before we meet our guest, Jason Gardner is here, talking about the English.
Connecting with culture.
Welcome to Everytown by Nick Spencer. Is there an English philosophy? Do the English see the world in a particular way? These are the questions that the philosopher Julian Baggini set out to answer in his book, Welcome to Everytown. Identifying the most typical postcode in the country, that is, the one that most accurately reflected its demographic and economic mix, he ended up going to live in S66 in Rotherham for 6 months. There he immersed himself in English popular culture, reading, watching, eating, drinking, and doing only what the largest proportion of the English did. Befriended by the regulars at his local, he became a philosopher among pub philosophers. Respectful but penetrating in his analysis, he found a conservative communitarian culture, one that valued customs, traditions, and a sense of responsibility more than abstract notions of human rights, and attached importance to community despite its claims to be individualistic. It was broadly tolerant, happy to live and let live, empirically minded, preferring to trust the evidence of its senses rather than theory, and ethically motivated more by a sense of fair play than by the rules. Baggini is honest about the limitations of his project, acknowledging that it is possible to question both what he experienced and the conclusions he drew. The first step in defining any national philosophy is to recognise that there is no definitive national philosophy. The real strength of his exercise, however, derives less from how well it was done, although every town was done very well, than from a simple fact that it was done at all. We fall into a serious error if we believe that there is a normal, rational, objective way of living from which certain groups, be they religious, ethnic or other, deviate. Each of us ploughs our own philosophical furrow, not only seeing life, the universe and everything in a particular way, but living accordingly, or at least trying to. As Baggini says, Everyone carries around with them a set of assumptions about the fundamental nature of the world. We can no more live without a metaphysics than we can without ethics. We tend to realise this only when we read accounts of other people's lives, or when we are called to give an account of our own.
That was Connecting with Culture, brought to you by the London Institute of Contemporary Christianity. Unbelievable with Justin Brierley.
Welcome back, and today our discussion is on forgiveness. We unfortunately have not been able to, as yet, make contact with one of our guests, so unless she appears a little later on in the programme, we're going to be going with a couple of guys who are joining me for the programme this afternoon. They are Peter Saunders. Peter is the founder of NAPAC. Now, that stands for the National Association for People Abused in Childhood, and really exists for the benefit of people who are dealing with the trauma of childhood abuse in their adult days. It may be people who have never really explored or had recently had memories awakened, and that's what the organisation exists for. They run a confidential helpline, a phone line, which receives up to 500 calls a week, and it seems it's being gratefully received by many people who use that. And Peter is a Christian, and his Christian faith has helped him with dealing with experiences from the past as well of that nature. Worth saying at this point that if you're listening, this is of course a sensitive topic that we're dealing with today. Abuse in childhood is a real fact and one that does need to be dealt with as a serious topic, but obviously sensitive in nature. If you've got young children around, you may want to just be aware of the nature of the things we're talking about this afternoon. Also joining us on the line is Steve Goss. Steve is the Executive Director of Freedom in Christ Ministries. And they help adults in a variety of ways in overcoming emotional sort of things in life. Well, Steve will be able to explain better than me when we meet him shortly. But first of all, let me say a very warm welcome to Peter. Thank you for joining me, Peter.
Thanks, Justin. Good to be here.
I probably didn't do a brilliant job there of explaining what NAPAC does, but how long has NAPAC been in existence?
I think you did a very good job, actually, of explaining what we do. I'm not always sure that I know what we do, but we've been around as a charity for just over 10 years now, so quite a long time, and gone through our teething troubles, and we're starting to grow up and still helping lots of people, hopefully.
Yeah, and just maybe take us a little bit through what caused you to begin the charity, because it came from a very personal experience yourself, didn't it?
It did come from a personal experience just over 11 years ago, and the memories of my own childhood abuse came flooding back to me, and through certain things that triggered it off, you know, the death of my father, who wasn't the abuser, but someone that I loved very much, and just the emotions around losing him. He was also a Christian, thank God. But it just caused me to deal with the sort of depression and the pain and the terrible memories that I had, that I had buried for many years. And the response was very much, well, I looked for help and there wasn't anything out there for me. And I decided to set up a charity to help people like me. And at the time, as many of your listeners would probably concur, abuse survivors often think they are the only ones that it's ever happened to, but in fact there are millions of us out here, and our message, the NAPAC message, is that you can heal and you can move on. You might need a lot of support to get there, but it's possible, and NAPAC is perhaps just a small step on the way. The free phone call, the encouragement, the listening, will send out a resource pack, and if people buy some hook or crook come to Christ as a result of getting in touch with us, that's wonderful, because many of us involved with the charity happen to be Christians, but we are not as such a faith-based charity.
I mean, in regard to your own personal journey though, what part did your faith in God play in the healing process, I suppose?
Central to it. I mean, I wouldn't be here but for God, in a literal sense, and also in terms of my healing. You know, I went down some seriously wrong pathways earlier in my life, and you know, sort of drank too much, relationship problems, all the sort of classic things that people that have been abused sometimes exhibit. But I never lost focus. I never lost sight of the fact that I was a child of God, and that what happened to me was perpetrated by people and not by God. And I'm just, I say, one of the very fortunate ones that managed to stay focused. And here I am today.
Well, we're going to be looking at the subject of forgiveness as we get into the programme, because many Christians do talk about forgiveness as though it were something quite easily handed out. But I'm sure for the people who you come into contact with on a regular basis, the idea of forgiveness may seem like a distant impossibility, really. But we'll get into that. Let's meet, first of all, though, another guest who's joining us on the programme this afternoon, Steve Goss, as I say, Executive Director of Freedom in Christ Ministries. Good afternoon to you, to you, Steve.
Hi, Justin. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Thank you very much for joining us on the programme today. What does Freedom in Christ Ministries exist for?
We essentially exist to put tools into the hands of the church to make fruitful disciples. And so that's at every level, really, from the pastor downwards. We do have a branch of the ministry that we call Walking with the Wounded that exists to help those who are struggling with these kind of issues. And the way we do that is by helping them in their church. We found that's the best place for them to be, where they can have support around them. And so what we tend to do as a ministry is equip and support those who are helping. Behind all that is a very firm belief that if you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, as Peter put it, you can expect to see complete resolution, as opposed to what the world by and large offers, which is just helping you cope with the issues.
Right. Well, it might be worth exploring what that would imply, and what the steps are that you recommend in doing that. But thank you for joining us on the programme as well. We're going to be, as I say, discussing this, and it is a sensitive issue. It may be something which awakens issues for you as a listener. I would say that there is an excellent place to go, and that is the NAPAC website, if you want to find out more. They're looking not only they're not only there to help people who need help in this area, but they're also looking for people to help as well in fielding the calls that they're receiving on a more and more regular basis. So that's napac.org.uk. If you want to respond to anything you hear on the programme today as well, of course, there is the usual number, 08456 52 52 52. Select option 5, leave me a voicemail message there. Or, if you like, you can do it by email. That's unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Time for a very short break, and then we'll be back as we discuss forgiveness and Christian responses to this very emotional and difficult issue of abuse in childhood.
This podcast is an outreach of Premier Insight, and it's made possible through the support of listeners like you. And your support today is so vital. We want to thank you for your generous gift by giving you exclusive access to Science, Faith and the Evidence for God apologetics course. This 9-module course invites you to learn from John Lennox, one of the most celebrated Christian thinkers of our time, through conversations with atheist thinker Michael Ruse and secular talk show host Dave Rubin. You'll be empowered to confidently speak into conversations on faith, science, and why believing in God is not only reasonable, but logical. The course is free to you to thank you for your gift to help Premier Insight equip more Christians to confidently speak into the biggest issues of our culture and defend their Christian faith with conviction and grace. To get access to Science, Faith, and the Evidence for God, simply go to premierinsight.org/unbelievableshow. That's premierinsight.org/unbelievableshow. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to Unbelievable on Premier Christian Radio.
Welcome back. Joining me on the programme today, Peter Saunders of the National Association for People Abused in Childhood. It's an organisation that exists to help adults who are coping with the memories, the trauma of abuse from childhood. And Peter is a Christian, and we're going to be talking about the concept of forgiveness. What does that take? Perhaps the experiences that he's come across of people who aren't Christians, who have sometimes been asked to forgive. What would that mean? Is it to be expected of people who have been through the most horrific things? Does forgiveness, in a sense, mean excusing someone from the things they've done? We've also got on the line to help us look through this issue, Steve Goss. Steve is the Executive Director of Freedom in Christ Ministries, and we're going to be finding out more about the steps that they recommend to help people overcome emotional trauma from the past. Well, I know that in your story, Peter, when this issue surfaced for you, you obviously were a Christian, and so I imagine you turned to Christians for help, but it wasn't always immediately a helpful thing that was offered. I mean, what happened when you first sort of tried to look to people to help you deal with the repercussions of memories of childhood abuse?
One of my first experiences in after disclosing what had happened to me, you know, and bear in mind I was a man of 38, 39 at that time, I spoke to someone that I felt that I could trust, somebody, a Christian woman that I'd known for many years, and who knew nothing about my background in terms of the abuse, and I expected her to be quite shocked, which I'm sure she was. But what I didn't expect in that moment, and I was still grieving over the death of my father at that time, which was the sort of trigger for the memories, what I didn't expect were her very first words, and her very first words to me were, had I prayed about forgiveness? It's something that I've prayed about a great deal since then, and thought about a great deal since then. But in that moment, it was a very unhelpful comment to make. And I can see how that, to some people, would have driven them away from the church, possibly.
I mean, why do you think that was the first response? Is there an assumption, perhaps, among Christians that you'll never get over something, you'll never deal with something until forgiveness happens? Because to some extent, you know, that, to me, that perhaps makes sense. I think that a lot of people do carry around baggage with them that comes from just not being able to forgive people for things that they've done to them, bitterness or whatever builds up. Now, I mean, so to some extent, she may have had a point, but you're saying that wasn't the moment to bring it up.
It wasn't the moment to bring it up, but maybe I should have had the forethought to say to her, what do you mean by forgiveness? Because that, again, is something that is at the crux of the issue. I have a huge advantage as a Christian that I can heal and move on, and nothing can keep me from God. Absolutely nothing, and no one. Although having said that, Justin, in the past, as a charity, we've heard from a number of people who have approached churches of different denominations that have had, again, very unhelpful responses. In fact, following my last appearance on Premier Radio a year or two back, we had a call from a number of people. We talked to them about where they had sought help for their abuse memories. They had gone to their pastors or their priests and had a very, very unhelpful response.
And without obviously being specific, what kind of responses were they that were so unhelpful? Were they being told to just pull themselves together? Were they being told, pray about it and it'll be fine?
Yeah, all those kind of responses. Pull yourself together. Well, this happened a long time ago. Just forget it. You know, pray about it. And a failure to actually engage with the person, and that would worry me. I mean, I'm very fortunate that at Brook Lane Church in Bromley, we have a pastor and a team who are fully engaged with any serious issues, including this one of child abuse and survivors of child abuse. But it does worry me that people don't always get the response that they should.
Let's bring in, at this point, Steve Goss. Steve, Freedom in Christ Ministries, As I say, part of what you exist for is to help people break free from sort of perhaps bondage of different kinds. Where does forgiveness fit into it as far as you're concerned?
In our experience, forgiveness is absolutely critical. It's almost the number one issue for any Christian, not just people who have been badly hurt. Just to put that into some kind of context for you, if in a conference situation I deliver our teaching on forgiveness, which sometimes just opens people's eyes to what it is and what it isn't. Mm. It's often not what they think it is, but and they understand that Jesus told us to forgive for our own good, essentially. Mm. But when we do that, and then they ask the Lord to show them if they have anyone to forgive, and this is completely normal Christians we're talking about, without fail, over 90% of them will respond and realize that they are still walking, if you like, with unforgiven people in their lives. And maybe for the first time, they understand that for their own good, for their own freedom, they need to forgive. So it is critical, but not just for those people who have suffered the horrendous things that Peter's talking about.
I mean, what about, you know, when we do talk about forgiveness, is there sometimes Christians can toss it about as though it were the obvious antidote to everything? I mean, forgiveness isn't something you can just do on the spot, is it?
Well, it isn't the antidote to everything, if you like. I mean, essentially, just taking a step back and thinking, why do we need to forgive? There's a couple of reasons. One thing is, if we don't forgive, we do stay hooked to the past. If we don't forgive, we allow the enemy, what Paul calls a foothold, in our lives. Mm. We actually let him hold us back. And what we try to do is help people get the perspective that they really are forgiving for their own freedom and for their own sake. It's actually, at the end of the day, not an issue between them and the person that hurt them so much as between them and God. Mm.
So when we talk about forgiving, would it require for it to be, in a sense, a sincere act of forgiveness to seek that person out and say, I forgive you, or is that not the kind of forgiveness we're talking about?
That's not what I'm talking about. In our experience, it actually can be very harmful for some people to have to go to the person and forgive them. It really isn't an issue between them and the person, although obviously it looks like that. Let me just read you a verse. Mm. This one I find turns the light on for many people. Because we somehow feel that to forgive someone, we might have to go and see them, or we might have to sweep it under the carpet and pretend that it didn't matter. Whereas the reality is, what was done to us was horrible, it was nasty, and it was wrong. And we don't need to lose that perspective. Mm. But Romans 12:19, for me, really helps. Paul says this, he says, don't take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And what I always want to emphasize to people is, look what God is saying here. He's saying, it's mine to avenge, I will repay. So in other words, that nasty thing that was done to you, when Jesus says to you to forgive, he's not saying to you, pretend that it didn't happen, pretend that it didn't matter. He's simply saying, look, I'm the God who is righteous, I see things as they are, hand it over to me, and I will make sure that payment comes. I will demand payment. That person's going to have to appear before God, before God's judgment seat, and explain what they did. It is going to be painful.
I mean, I've got Peter here nodding in full agreement. Yeah. I mean, anything to add to that, Peter?
Well, no, I fully agree with what Steve said there, and it is about understanding what forgiveness means, and I think that's where a lot of people have a problem, is they don't actually understand what forgiveness means. It is not about excusing what happened. It's not about letting somebody off. It's certainly not about expecting us to embrace that person. It probably isn't about us trusting that person, and if that person is a perpetrator of child abuse, then God would expect us to go to the police and make a report about that. It's not about letting the person off the hook, but I think it is about a personal decision between you and God that you will move on and that you will place the responsibility for that sin where it belongs.
I imagine that a lot of abuse happens in the context of a relationship, a family relationship, whether that be a father, mother, uncle, whatever. From that point of view, there may be ongoing family connections to whoever it is further on in life. Now, in a situation where, for whatever reason, that person may almost, you know, be obliged to occasionally share the same space or be in contact with someone who did perpetrate something awful, yes. Is there then a case for saying we should hopefully be moving towards some kind of reconciliation, kind of forgiveness, as much as we can get to that kind of forgiveness state, which is about helping ourselves move on? Is there a case for saying we should at some point in those situations be looking to try and, I don't know, heal the rift, obviously, that has naturally established between two people?
You're quite right, Justin. Firstly, the vast majority of people who get in touch with NAPAC have been abused by somebody very close to them. It's often a parent or a brother or an uncle or a grandparent or somebody else close into the family. And in our dreams, we would love for there to be real reconciliation so that people can move on. But let's not lose sight of the fact that often a very serious crime has taken place. And Jesus also had some pretty harsh words for people who hurt children, which I'm sure Steve could quote. If you haven't got God in your life, then I can see how people would see it as being a hopeless situation and not wanting or able to move on. And God does command us to forgive. It's there many times in the Bible. But as I say, it isn't about letting somebody off the hook. And we hear from many people who, as in terms of how you describe a situation, let's say a woman has to go and be in a room with the uncle that abused her 20 years ago and hasn't seen him since then. But there's a family gathering, maybe it's a funeral or something like that. And it's those situations that often trigger the terrible, terrible memories and the reaction of not knowing what to do. Now, if that person was a Christian and they had Christian support, they could go and they could pray and they could work through it. Because, again, sadly, very few abusers will put their hand up and say, "I'm sorry, I did personally confront one of the people who abused me, a family member who abused me. I did confront them some years ago because it was someone that I loved as a child. It was someone I looked up to, trusted and adored as a child. But it wasn't reciprocated because they abused me in every way possible. And I wanted to go and I wanted some kind of reconciliation. And within minutes of meeting this person, I knew it was never going to happen because he would always deny it."
Right.
People sometimes say to me, often say to me, in fact, you know, "Well, have you forgiven your abuser? Can you forgive as a Christian?" And my answer, you know, if you give too brief an answer, people will say, "Oh, there you go." So if I say yes, people will draw one set of conclusions.
Hmm.
If I say no, people will say, "Well, that's not very Christian of you." I say, and I do, I pray for the people who abuse me. I do not wish them any ill harm. I hope that they come to Christ before they die. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds
like... If I can help in that process, then I will.
I mean, for you, Steve, is maybe a sign that someone has reached that place, which we're calling forgiveness, at the point at which they can think about that person and not have feelings of hatred towards them? I mean, or can you still have forgiven someone but still kind of have those feelings? I don't know.
I think it's important to acknowledge your feelings in this whole process. We can be very British and say, "Oh, I forgive everyone who's ever hurt me." That really doesn't do anything at all. Jesus said, "Unless you forgive from the heart." And so there's something about acknowledging the hatred and then making a choice to forgive. Now, if you're in the situation where you've had something really nasty done to you, you can choose today to forgive, but I guarantee that you'll wake up tomorrow with those feelings of hatred still.
Mm.
They take time. The feelings always follow your choice to do what Jesus said. And so for someone like that, I would just say, just get up every morning and just reaffirm that you are making a choice to forgive. See, some people think that forgiveness is a feeling that's suddenly going to come over them. If you wait for that, it'll never happen. You have to start with the will, making a choice, and then gradually over time, your feelings will follow. It may take a long time. And maybe they'll never follow completely, depending on the situation, but they will follow.
And would that, you know, Peter was talking about the fact that it came to the point where he was able to pray for someone themselves, you know, and that recalls Jesus' words, pray for those who persecute, pray for your enemies. I mean, is that another sign, perhaps, of having come to a point where you have given this over to God? It's no longer something which is troubling your spirit.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the main sign is going to be a personal freedom that will come in. I was at a conference a month or two ago, and there was a guy there, and he was just saying to me, I think I will forgive. And I was saying to him, well, you know, why don't you do it now?
Mm.
Why don't you just make a choice, and that will be your starting point? And he did, and he immediately said, well, I feel better already. There's something to do with making that choice, and then the feelings follow.
Let's talk about that a bit more in just a moment. Right now, perhaps you're listening and you'd like to respond to this. I think it's an issue which everyone can relate to. Whatever the issue is that requires forgiveness, we've all done things wrong, had things done wrong to us. I wonder what your thoughts are on the issue of forgiveness. What exactly it entails? Perhaps you've got a story you'd like to share of forgiveness, whether that meant actually going to the person and getting a reconciliation, or simply moving on in your own mind, gaining that freedom that Steve's been talking about. I'd love to hear your stories. Do call on 08456 52 52 52, select option 5. Leave me a voicemail message. I'll happily play it out on next week's programme. And you can also email me. That's unbelievable@premier.org.uk.
Unbelievable with Justin Brierley.
Returning to the subject of freedom, because obviously that's the name of your ministry, Steve, Freedom in Christ. What are the things, if you like, which tend to keep people from being free? Is it very often these kind of experiences from the past? Are there self-inflicted sorts of things that can keep people bound?
That's a big question for me. It's all sorts of things. I think what I'd like to answer that by saying, in many ways, what we don't do sometimes, because we've been brought up in the West with a certain way of looking at the world, is we don't acknowledge, at least in the practical details of life, the reality of the spiritual world. Theologically, we'd all agree there's God and there's Satan and so on and so forth. But the reality is, the New Testament makes very clear that we have an enemy, we are in a battle, and he is trying to hold us back. And so essentially, we can try and try and try and move on as fruitful disciples, but if we haven't dealt with any, what Paul calls, footholds of the enemy in our life, it isn't going to happen. We just get held back. And so a blanket answer to that question really would be footholds of the enemy caused by any kind of unresolved sin in our lives can hold us back, can stop us connecting with the truth.
Hmm. And what are the ways in which you counsel people to deal with those things? I mean, in the, you know, if we're talking about something that was perpetrated against someone, and there is that sort of residual bitterness which is creating that kind of a foothold, what would be, for someone who's experiencing that, the first step that they could take towards being released from it?
We have a little process called the Steps to Freedom in Christ that is, it's a little book or it's a video or whatever, but it's an opportunity for you to sit down and say to the Lord, that what are the things that are holding me back? Is it that I played with a Ouija board 10 years ago and have never actually properly dealt with that? Is it that I'm still holding people in unforgiveness, or what is it across the whole of your life? And the Holy Spirit, when you ask him a question like that, is very pleased to say, well, there's this and there's that and the other. And then simply, it might be slow and painful, but the simplicity of it, you sit down and you say, I'm not having that anymore. I renounce it, or I repent. I turn from it. And essentially, repentance, I think, has always been the answer. Now, that sounds a hard thing to say to somebody who's saying, well, hang on a minute, I'm the victim here.
Mm.
I was the one who had the nasty things done to me. And I understand that completely and utterly. But the reality is that if you are holding somebody in unforgiveness, and who can blame you if you are, but if you are, it's for your own freedom. that you resolve that, it's really nothing to do with the person. If you forgive them, they are still on God's hook. They are still going to have to face what they did and pay for it. So you can do it in the assurance that it's just about you, and God, about your own personal freedom. And when people get their perspective, I just see them in a lovely way, slowly and painfully, and yes, with tears, work their way through a list of people and walk free from those people. It is about them walking free and finding the freedom that Jesus died to give them. Just let me give you an example. A lady came up to me after I'd done some teaching on forgiveness, and she said that her husband had left her for somebody else. And that's a really painful thing, and I'm not trivializing it at all. But she said to me then, I'm not ready to forgive him yet. And there was somehow a thought in her mind that if she didn't forgive him, she was somehow punishing him. But the reality is, well, who knows what her husband was doing? Maybe he was on a yacht on the other side of the world, you know, living the high life with his new lady or whatever. The point is that her not forgiving him was hurting somebody, but it wasn't him, it was hurting her. And when she could realize that and then simply let it go, hand it over to God, immediately she can experience freedom. And so it's all about the person who's been abused for their own good.
Well, maybe in the next section of the programme, you know, I'll play slightly devil's advocate, because I have been in conversation with someone in the past week who's been talking about this, and the fact that she's not a Christian, and has said, you know, when she's come into contact with Christians, they've often harped on about forgiveness, but she's never felt a need to forgive the people who did the things to her. She says she moved on without having to do that. Fine if other people want to, but not certainly something that she particularly has felt the need to do. And I wonder what maybe her concept of forgiveness is in that, whether she maybe had some idea of a forgiveness which is letting people off the hook. But you, again, you were nodding in agreement there, Peter, with what Steve had to say.
Yeah.
I mean, was there a sense in which a process happened for you where there was a freedom? I mean, you talked about the fact that maybe you went down some avenues which maybe you could attribute to kind of the effects of abuse as a child. Once, though, you were facing up to that abuse in a realistic way, what was there a point where you were able to say, yeah, I'm in a place of freedom now where I'm not, you know.
Yeah, it is an evolving process. And we'll never be truly free until we go and join our Lord in heaven. But I think everything that Steve said, I agree with wholeheartedly. What NAPAC as a charity tries to do is it tries to help people to obtain freedom. Now, what we do is insignificant compared to the freedom that comes with knowing God. And I don't know if it's inappropriate here, but our church, Brook Lane in Bromley, we've recently been doing the Steps to Freedom Christ that Steve has mentioned earlier, and I would recommend that course to anybody, and I would love to have it running in our office every day for the people who come in. But yes, it certainly is about freedom, and Jesus made a very, very powerful statement about knowing the truth, and the truth will set you free, and there is absolutely no doubt about that. So get in touch with Freedom in Christ Ministries and look at that series. It's excellent.
Well, we'll have a chance to...
I'll send you the bill later, Steve.
Thanks, Peter.
Well, we'll have a chance at the end to make sure that web addresses, etc. are given out, and because obviously we've got a very nice marriage here of different ministries that may be helping people. Time just to wrap up this section of our discussion programme. Forgiveness, we've been talking about. We're going to talk a little bit more depth about what that may mean in reality. So, you know, why forgiveness maybe for someone who doesn't call themselves a Christian, whether that is a possibility and what that would mean. So do join us again as we continue to talk through this subject. My guests on the programme today are Peter Saunders of the National Association for People Abused in Childhood, and also Steve Goss of Freedom in Christ Ministries. We're talking about forgiveness on Unbelievable this afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome back to the programme. Before we get back to the issue of forgiveness, let me tell you what's coming up next week on the programme. Another Christian issue, healing. David Cunningham is a spiritual healer. He claims to channel the universe's energy into people to bring about physical and mental restoration. John Ryland runs a Christian healing ministry. He claims that it's God that heals in the power of Jesus Christ. So what's the difference and who's right? Well, they're joining me next week to discuss healing at the same time here on Unbelievable. That's 2 till 3.30.
You're listening to Unbelievable on Premier Christian Radio.
And on the programme this afternoon, we're talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is something which is obviously key to Christianity. It's the very fact that we have been forgiven by Jesus that is what gives Christians their hope for a future. But forgiveness of others is also something that is required of us in the New Testament, in the Gospels. But it can represent a very big obstacle to people who perhaps are interested in Christianity when they're told that they need to forgive someone who's done something awful to them. We've got with us Peter Saunders, who is from NAPAC, the National Association for People Abused in Childhood. And he obviously has had his own journey of forgiveness, as we've been hearing. And we've been hearing about what forgiveness is and isn't, depending on the circumstances. Also with us, Steve Goss on the telephone, Executive Director of Freedom in Christ Ministries. And I was explaining before we took our break, gentlemen, that I've been in conversation with someone, not a Christian, who, when she's talked about forgiveness, she said, you know, I've often been told by Christians that forgiveness is the way to move on. And she said to me, maybe that is for some people helpful in helping them move on, but I've never felt that I needed to forgive anyone. You know, why, you know, I'm not bothered about them, so why do they need my forgiveness? And I don't particularly feel that it would help me either. I mean, what do you say to that particular approach, Peter?
I think rather than just launch into the word forgiveness, which will put a lot of people off, because it is bandied around a great deal in an inappropriate way, and I think most people don't actually know what the word means. Forgiveness, as we've agreed before the break, isn't about letting somebody off the hook. It's not about excusing them. It's not about saying, there, it was all right, sweeping it under the carpet. Far from it. Forgiveness is about letting go. It's about how you deal with the past. It's not something that can be inflicted on you. It's not something you can inflict on someone else. And if you choose to forgive, to move on, then that is a personal choice that can be very, very empowering and very healing. To not move on can result in people hanging on to anger, hanging on to bitterness, hanging on to lots of negative emotions.
I mean, just to play devil's advocate here, you know, the non-Christian might say, that person did an awful thing to me. I have every right to be angry at them for the rest of my life. Why do you want me to stop being angry at this person?
You do have every right to be angry with them, and if you are angry with them for the rest of your life, the only person who will suffer as a result of that anger is you and your loved ones around you. So it's about moving on and leaving the anger behind. And that comes around forgiveness. Again, it's not letting the person off the hook.
I'm sure you'd agree with all of that, Steve. I mean, what is the effect when people don't leave anger behind, when they do hold on to anger? Can someone live a life which is, you know, a normal life, even with a background sort of feelings of anger towards someone?
Well, you can live a life, and you can live a life that looks relatively normal. I mean, the reality is most people are walking around having people they haven't genuinely forgiven. So yes, you can do that. The issue really for Christians is, do you want to be a fruitful Christian? Because it will hold you back. You won't be fruitful. And the issue probably for a non-Christian is primarily understanding, if you like, how much they have been the perpetrator of wrong against God. Understanding just how much they need God's forgiveness.
I mean, it's obviously something maybe people will draw on in the Lord's Prayer, for let us forgive those as we have been forgiven. But as Peter said, forgiveness may not be, you know, the first thing that someone can do necessarily in a given situation. I mean, does that in a sense mean that they're doing something wrong by not forgiving someone if they don't feel that they've arrived at a place where that's going to happen with sincerity?
In terms of if they're a Christian, you mean? Or
yeah, I'm thinking of a Christian who maybe is challenged by that statement in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive others.
Yeah.
But says to themselves, I can't forgive that person right now. I'm too messed up at this moment in time for that to be my first priority in the way that maybe, you know, Peter was mentioning earlier.
Yeah.
Are they in some ways then not eligible for forgiveness because they're not in a place where they can forgive?
Oh, I see where you're coming from. I think that statement in the Lord's Prayer, that we forgive as we've been forgiven, I think what Jesus is saying there is that we need to put the basis of our relationship with others on the same basis as our relationship with God. And so we forgive as we've been forgiven. You know, freely you have received, freely give. That's the whole point. God isn't asking us to do something that he hasn't himself already done for us. Mm. And so when someone, I mean, having said all that, you know, it can sound very hard line. You just quote scripture at people, you know, like Peter said right at the beginning. That's just really unhelpful. Mm. And so you need to get alongside people, see where they're coming from, and help them understand, as we both of us are saying, that it's for their own good, that they do need to forgive ultimately. It will help them walk in freedom. But it is about putting the basis of our relationship with others on the same basis that God has used for us.
I agree, Steve. And for non-Christians seeking some meaning to what we're trying to talk about, I think it's quite useful to mention Jesus' last words on the cross when he actually forgave one of the people who had been crucified with him, who had asked God for forgiveness. But interestingly, of course, God didn't let him come down from the cross. He didn't save him the punishment of a very painful death, but he did forgive him.
Hmm. You once, I understand, wrote an article, Peter, on forgiveness.
I did.
And you received back a very cross sort of letter in response to it. Just give the details.
Well, in all the years, NAPAC sends out a newsletter, both electronically and through the post, to survivors of abuse and our friends and supporters. And a few years ago, I did an article, because there was a lot of talk in the media about forgiveness and various things had been cropping up. And a lot of it was around the Peace and Reconciliation Commission in South Africa, about how the African people were forgiving of the apartheid regime so that the whole nation could move on. And some people jumped on the bandwagon and were saying, well, yes, and so survivors of abuse have to forgive their abusers. And I wrote an article for the newsletter, and it was headed Forgiveness. And I said in it much of what I've been saying today, but whoever picked the newsletter up didn't like the fact that I dared to write about forgiveness. And it was the only newsletter in 10 years that's come back to NAPAC saying, take me off your mailing list, how dare you talk of forgiveness. And I wished that the woman had read the full article, because she probably wouldn't have responded that way.
But when it comes to you obviously NAPAC exists for anybody, whatever, whether they have faith or not, to help people out. But you run it with a Christian ethos, I imagine, and that is kind of a foundational thing to what the reason for you doing it, Peter. Now, in situations where maybe more secular organisations or counselling alternatives are available, I mean, would this be a standard kind of response there as well, that forgiveness is really helpful in moving people on? Would kind of that those who maybe don't you know, subscribe to a Christian ideal, would they be countenancing forgiveness?
I think often they do, yes, because it is about leaving the past behind. There's nothing we can do to change what's gone before us. We can't change the past. We can only look to the future. And forgiveness is an integral, essential part of moving forward. It's not about moving back.
Hmm. I remember about a year ago or longer, probably, there was the story in the press of the female vicar who resigned from her post because her daughter had been killed in the 7/7 bombings, and she said, "I simply haven't been able to forgive, and I don't feel I can carry out my duties with sincerity." Where, you know, it's essentially offering, you know, the body and blood of Christ to people with this on my own heart. Now, that was obviously a very brave thing for her to do, and she's very honestly been struggling with the issue of forgiveness in doing that. I wonder, though, Steve, I mean, what do you say to someone who has genuinely been trying to find it in themselves to offer forgiveness or to be forgiving in their heart, but simply can't, I don't know, make their emotions marry what they'd like to be able to do, and they know the Bible is telling them to do?
Mm. That's a really tough one. I mean, you know, what can you say? You sympathise with someone like that, and I just had great admiration for her integrity in what she did there. But if somebody came to me and we were talking about those kind of issues, and they've got something really difficult like that to forgive, I would, you know, again, want to get alongside them and show them that they're loved, and you know, before I do anything else. But ultimately, I would want to help them genuinely forgive, because I know that that would do them good. And normally, in my experience, when people say they can't forgive, which I completely understand, or they, you know, they just can't see how they ever will be able to forgive, again, I understand it. But scripturally, if you like, those things aren't true. The reality is, if God tells us to do something, and he does tell us to forgive for our own good, if he tells us to do that, then by definition we can do it. Because he isn't the kind of God who would say to us, you know, here's a hurdle to jump over, but by the way, I know it's 2 foot too high, and you won't be able to do it. He doesn't set us up to fail. Mm-hmm. So by definition, if the Lord is saying, you need to do this, we know it's something loving for our own good, and that we can do it. And then you've got verses like, you know, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And usually behind that is a misunderstanding of what forgiveness is. You know, and you said yourself, you know, maybe she didn't feel her emotions would be at that place that she could forgive. Well, they won't be. They never will be. I mean, goodness me, if someone has killed your child, that is an awful thing. You know, that will take years to recover from. To start the recovery process is a dogged determination not to let that awful thing hold you back, but to hand the person over to God and say, look, God, you deal with them. You are the just God. I'm trusting you with this. I know you'll deal with them righteously. So I'm going to forgive. I'm going to free myself from the past. I'm going to hand them over to you, knowing that you are not going to let them off the hook. You are going to demand payment.
Mm.
And when people can get that perspective... Well, in fact, I've never known anyone who hasn't been able to forgive, ultimately. I've known plenty of people who've said, I can't forgive, and I can never do this.
Do you think many people are labouring under the idea, then, that to forgive means to let people off the hook in the sense of that they don't get... that justice is somehow forfeited when you forgive?
Yes, I think that's exactly what it is. When someone has done something to us that's nasty, we want justice, we want revenge. And of course we do. And what God is saying is, look, it is mine to avenge. Let me do that bit, because I will do it right. I know the whole circumstance. I know everything. But, you know, be assured, I will demand payment.
Is there the possibility that sometimes there are situations when it is helpful, even in the healing process as well, in which when we do, if you like, let people off? I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, a parable Jesus told about... when the you know, the servant came to the king and owed him so much money, and the king, in his act of forgiveness, forgave the debt.
Mm.
So, and then he was then approached by someone he knew who owed him a much smaller debt and didn't forgive it, and that was, you know, the moral was, you know, forgive others as you've been forgiven. But the point is that the king did forgive him the debt. He didn't make him, you know, suffer the consequences of his well, I don't know, fiscal, you know, mismanagement or whatever.
Mm.
I mean, are there situations where it could be helpful for the person not only to say, look, I've forgiven that person, but also to say, and I'm not going to pursue a course of seeing that person prosecuted or something. Now, obviously, in cases that we're talking about where there's a criminal aspect to it, that obviously is quite different in many ways. But perhaps in other circumstances where there isn't so much a criminal aspect to it, we perhaps say, I'm not going to try and, you know, even though it would be just for that person to suffer something for what they've done, I'm not going to go down that route.
Yeah, I think that's what forgiveness is. You are making that decision to live with the consequences of what happened. You are letting them off your hook, safe in the knowledge that they're on God's hook, but you are letting them off your hook. And so you're not going to speak badly of them. You don't necessarily trust them, coming back to something Peter alluded to earlier, because that would be silly. They have to earn your trust over time, but that's a different issue. But you are not going to speak badly of them. You're going to bless them, you're going to pray for them, which seems completely impossible. Until you start going down that process and you connect with the freedom, the genuine freedom that comes from it. Again, going back to that parable you just talked about, it's in Matthew 18, and it's a really interesting parable because the guy doesn't forgive as he's been forgiven, and he then has some consequences, and that his master comes back and throws him into prison where he is tormented, tortured, it says in the NIV. And then there's a really chilling thing that Jesus says at the end of that. And he says, this is what my Father in heaven, or how my Father in heaven will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. And there's a sort of, it's a really chilling statement. It's not what we expect from Jesus. But the reality is, there is a spiritual torment, a torture that comes. We do open ourselves up to the enemy when we don't forgive. We get bitter and twisted, and frankly, life isn't much fun. But when we learn to forgive, all that changes.
I mean, I don't know whether your ministry sort of comes from personal experience as well in any way, Steve. I'm afraid I'm very ill-acquainted with your own story. But has the steps that you've developed in freedom in Christ been something that has been worked out through your own experiences?
I've certainly had my fair share of forgiving to do, like we all do. You know, you can't go through life with nobody to forgive. And sometimes, people have done things to me and I've had to keep battling with that. What I will share from my own experience, perhaps, it's not so much my own story. Some of your listeners, I'm sure, will be aware of Carolyn Bramhall, who's written a book called Am I a Good Girl Yet?, which talks about her own recovery from abuse at the hands of a sort of satanic ring, sort of ritual abuse, and then her subsequent dissociative identity disorder, which is just a way of coping with it. And I had the privilege of taking Carolyn together with my wife through the steps to freedom in Christ and seeing her slowly and painfully forgive the people who had done what they did to her, which is just really nasty stuff. Over years as a child, you know, 10 years of childhood abuse. And then I have seen her actually go to those people and tell them they're forgiven, those who are still alive, though she didn't need to do that, but she wanted to. I've seen her sit down with one of them and go the second mile, and I've seen her at the same time bring the police in and let them know what happened. So forgiveness is not incompatible with the laws of the land, and it's okay to draw a line in the sand. The reason she did that, by the way, was she didn't want this particular person harming any more children, and she thought there was a danger that that would happen. She managed to get him on the sex offenders register, and that was enough for her. Mm. She knew the police were keeping an eye.
Mm. And again, very much illustrates what the theme that's been coming out throughout the programme. Just time, really, gentlemen, for some final thoughts. And before we do that, let me just say again, if you're listening and anything is spoken to you in particular, or you'd like to respond in any way to any of the issues that have been raised in the programme this afternoon, do get in touch by telephone 08456 52 52 52 and select option 5. If you'd like to email me, then I'm happy to read that out on next week's programme, unbelievable@premier.org.uk.
Unbelievable with Justin Brierley.
Well, returning to you, Peter, I mean, in many ways, people maybe who want to respond, I've given out our telephone number for just leaving a message, but they can actually talk to someone through NAIPAC.
Yeah.
Do you think that's maybe, I'm sure it must be, a helpful part of reaching a point of forgiveness? Because inevitably, if someone just reads that they're supposed to forgive, and that's that is the way that we get healing, they may see that and just think, well, that's impossible. Presumably, talking to people through that is part of the process of coming to understand how that could happen.
Talking about it is part of the process, and there's a fair chance if people ring the NAIPAC free phone number, they may well be talking to a Christian, which has got to be good news. As we're nearing the end, I just wanted to thank you and to say what a privilege it's been to be here, and to say how God really does get involved in our everyday life. Because believe it or not, last night I nearly didn't go to our house group at Brook Lane because I was coming on the radio today and thought I ought to spend some time thinking and praying about today. Equally, I've often, as Brook Lane have had the Steps to Freedoms in Ministry series going, I've often thought, wouldn't it be lovely to meet this wonderful Steve Goss? And, you know, there you go. These are the miracles that take place every day. God is an awesome God, and as Steve said, God doesn't set us any barriers that we can't overcome.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad that there's been some fruitful relationships developing through the programme this afternoon. If people do want to get in touch with NAIPAC, and I'll make sure that these details go on the webpage as well once this programme is online.
Yes.
Do again, give the website, but also the number. Is that a 24-hour number?
No, so we would like to think that one day we could be a 24-hour free phone number, but at the moment the hours are basically sort of Mondays to Fridays during the day and most evenings with alternate Saturdays. So whether today's the day we've got people on, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But do try during the week, and it's a free phone number, which is 0800 085 3330. It's kind of, if I can repeat that, 0800 085 3330. And can I also say, Ray, say hello to Ray at church, because he'll never forgive me if I don't give him a plug. He's our wonderful pastor at Brook Lane in Bromley.
He's been plugged. Excellent. And as I say, the number will be available on the webpage. If you don't have access to the internet, there's always the Premier Response number. And we'll make sure all the details are with them as well. You can ring them from Monday if you, again, another counselling service, but they also will be able to direct you towards NAIPAC. And the number again for that, 08456 52 52 52. Some last words from you as well, Steve, and thank you so much for taking time out to be available for the whole programme. As I say, we were intending to have another guest with us, but unfortunately that hasn't worked out. But there's been a very happy coincidence, I think, of guests on the programme today. So if people want to find out more about Freedom in Christ Ministries, how should they do that, Steve?
Yeah, the easiest way is via our website, which is F for Freddie, IC, M for Mother, so FICM.org.uk.
FICM.org.uk.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And resources such as the ones that Peter's been using in his house group, those are the kind of things that are on offer?
Yeah, that's the Freedom in Christ Discipleship course, which is a course that churches run. It's been used by somewhere near 100,000 people in the UK now, I think. And it's got all that teaching on forgiveness in it. You could also get that in some books by Neil Anderson, which I'd recommend. You can get them from any Christian bookshop. A Victory Over the Darkness and The Bondage Breaker. Again, so if your church isn't running the course, that's another option.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for being with us, for taking the time, and for your ministry and the people that obviously have been touched in so many ways by Freedom in Christ Ministries. And thank you for listening. And don't forget that God is bigger than any of the problems we encounter in life. That's what we believe as Christians. And no hurdle is too great for him to be able to take us over it. If you want to talk to someone, do recommend those web resources. Once again, if you want to give us the number for NAIPAC one more time, Peter, that would be great.
Yeah, it's 0800 085 0800 085 330, and it's a free phone call. 0800 085 330.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening, and let me tell you what's coming up on next week's programme. You're unbelievable. We're going to be discussing something altogether different, but perhaps not too different, healing. But we're talking here about physical healing and mental healing, I suppose. David Cunningham is a spiritual healer. He claims to channel the universe's energy into people to bring about physical and mental healing. John Ryland, however, runs a Christian healing ministry. He claims it's God who heals in the power of Jesus Christ. Well, what is the difference and who's right? That's going to be our topic next week, healing from a Christian and a spiritualist point of view. That's Saturday, again, from 2 p.m. See you there.